now know that I, that the Lord, saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. And then if you'll turn to the 21st, the next two verses, 1 and 2, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Amen. Glory to God. Send thee help from the sanctuary. It's good to get to the sanctuary if you need help. Amen. Lord, would you please bless? Would you anoint? Would you touch? Would you consider every petition in here? Would you, God, come down and strengthen us and revive us? And we'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There is nothing so comforting to people in trouble than the Word of God and the promises of God. I can spend hours counseling people, but when you see the Word of God applied to your situation, there's a greater confidence and feeling of security because of what God said, not what somebody else said. God declares it. He has written it down. God said it. I believe it. End of story. David said, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with saving strength of his right hand. So every word that we say to God, every prayer we have ever given God, he's heard it. And he responds to it. It may not happen in your timing. It may not happen the way you want. But be assured that God has heard every word that has exited our mouth. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in a whole lot of things in this world, you know. But we trust in the name of the Lord. In David's day, the most powerful implements of war were the chariot and a powerful horse. If you had a chariot and you had a great horse, you were the person. If I only had a team of stallions and a brass-covered chariot, you know, I could defeat any enemy, face any challenge. And yet, those aren't the things that will bring us victory. We get victory in the Lord. Would you turn to Psalms 119 and verse number 8? I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed unto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, here's a prayer that's saying, God, you know what? I'm afraid that I'm going to let you down. I'm afraid that I don't have the wherewithal in order to keep living for you. Will you strengthen me with your commandments? You don't understand the importance of being in church and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. We're saved by the foolishness of preaching. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all of the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In other words, the things that you have done, they get me more excited than all of the riches in the world, all of the things that I could accumulate. Amen. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Oh God, help me keep your word. Where do we put our trust? There's so many areas that we could put our trust in: education and jobs and healthcare and government, and none of those things will really give us the comfort or a trust that we need. You know, the very purpose for government is to carry out the articles of the Constitution. That's the whole purpose of the legislature and Congress, not to interpret, but to enforce what our forefathers have put down in order to safeguard a free nation under God with liberty and justice for all. Now we're getting to the place where now all of a sudden we're starting to interpret like we need to now change what a forefather said would help us. The same is true for government in the church. Pastors and leaders in the church are not to interpret the Bible, but the government of the church is there to confirm what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know. No, it's very clear. In fact, the Bible is written on a sixth grade level, and so it shouldn't be hard for us to understand what the Word of God says. Scripture interprets Scripture, and God wouldn't make the Word of God so complicated that only a few people could disseminate the information to everybody else. Hallelujah. The trouble any government gets into is when they want to please people instead of staying with what has been written. And the same is true for the church. When we start to try to please people rather than to please God and stay with what the Word of God says. God-given rights, whether Constitution or the Word of God, is the most important thing that we can stay with as a church. Their times have changed, but the Word of God has not changed. Hallelujah. We don't alter the Word of God based on what society is doing today. Yet some trust in chariots and some in horses. Some trust in houses and some in Porsches. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Don't change, folks. What it really comes down to is who will trust God and keep his word. Let's take a look at Judges, the 7th chapter. This is the chapter that talks about Gideon, who was a mighty man of valor, but he didn't understand it. He was hiding behind a mill, threshing out some wheat, when an angel of the Lord came and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, I've come to use you in order to deliver your people. And he just didn't feel like he was qualified. Chapter 7, and starting in verse number 3, says, now therefore go to proclaim the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 20,000, and there remain 10,000. So we had 32,000 to begin with, and God's saying, hey, if any people are afraid, just tell them to go home. You know, I'll deal with the people who really want to be here. That is so typical of what happens in the church today. There are people who walk in the church. They know the presence of God is here, but they're afraid of what it will cost them, and so as a result, they walk out. And now we have less. And then it goes on to verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people onto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lappeth putteth their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all of the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save and deliver the Midianites into thy hands, and let all of the other people go, every man unto his place. So now we went from 32,000 to 300 against 150,000 Midianites, and now we're getting closer to an even battle. God's saying, you know what, okay, we got 10,000, but how many are going to listen to the man of God? How many are going to follow the instructions? Those are the people who are really going to get the victory. We all are volunteers, but then something is said or something is required of us, and some become afraid, some go home, some no longer want to take instructions. Those that remain are asked to be vigilant and follow the directions of the man of God. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 14, "For many are called or invited, but few are chosen or selected." So there are a lot of people who hear this saving message, but then they make a decision for themselves. Am I afraid that this is going to interrupt my life? Am I afraid of the instructions and the sacrifice? And so there are less. It's all about trusting God. It really is. Every aspect of our walk with God is all about, do you trust him, or are you trusting in chariots and horses? Are you trusting in bank accounts and jobs and education and all of these? And none of that is wrong. It's just that you can't put all your trust in those things. You've got to put your trust in God. Hallelujah. Turn to Proverbs 3 and verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Truth and mercy. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It's all about trusting God. Okay, that doesn't seem right to me, 300 against 150,000 Midianites. But when we do that which God is asking us to do, there's an incredible power and testimony in it, not only for us, but all of those that are around us. Amen. Would you turn to Acts, the 27th chapter? Acts chapter 27 and verse 29. Here Paul is involved in a shipwreck at Malta. And you know what he said? He said, listen, we better not leave, because I'm afraid that things aren't going to go well. There's going to be a shipwreck. And of course, they didn't heed his instructions, but they just went on because they had a place that they had to go. Listen, if you do that, that's not going to help your walk with God. Well, yeah, but I have to do this. And sometimes we get in a shipwreck. So starting in verse 29, it says, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day." All right. Bad storm. Best thing we can do is throw out a number of anchors. Hopefully the ship is going to stabilize, and we're just praying that when dawn comes, it's going to be over. The storm's going to be over. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the colors, as though they would have cast anchor out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So in other words, what they're saying is, yeah, we're letting out more anchors, but what they were really doing is they were sending out a ship, a little boat, so they could get out of the ship, thinking that it would be safer if they got out of the ship than if they stayed in the ship. And Paul's saying, except you stay in the boat, you can't be saved. I've had people say, well, listen, I'm just going to take a little break. I'm just going to back away from the ministry. I probably won't be there on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, but, you know, I still love God. And what they're saying is they're preserving their life when they're really... A storm wasn't threatening until they realized, you know, I don't know if I can stay in the ship. A storm was threatening their lives. They were doing everything they could in order to stay afloat. And Paul said, be of good cheer, but in times of fear and doubt, in your storm, even words from the man of God can sometimes be hard to accept as fact. When you're in your difficulty, and somebody says, don't worry, it's going to be all right, God's going to take care of you, sometimes it doesn't seem like that's enough. And when people are facing storms of life, they look for an immediate fix or some kind of escape out of the storm. And they think, well, I don't know if I'm going to stay with the church. I don't know if I'm going to stay with the doctrine. I've seen people who have amened the preaching and agreed with the word of God, but then came a storm in their life and they abandoned ship. Is it fear that causes them to abandon everything that they've believed? Are we now relying on other things to save us, like family and jobs and positions? Or do we rely on God who bailed us out? Remember the last time he bailed you out? There are too many people ready to yell man overboard and wonder if we really can stay through the storm. It's time for somebody with a cool head and confidence in God to step forward and say, hey, listen, the only chance you have is to stay in the boat. The only chance. There's too many people who are telling you, you know what, you're not going to be able to make it. In fact, let's turn to Acts 27 again. And verse number 20. Starting in verse number 18, if you will. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hopes that we should be saved was then taken away. Got to a place of desperation. What do I have to get rid of? All of my valuables, all of the things that I've depended upon, let's just throw them overboard because, you know what, I've just got to save my life. But even after all of that, they still didn't seem to have any hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. You know, I don't want to be in that place saying, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to the word of God, you know. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So everybody's going to be saved, but the ship is going down. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. So here's the man of God saying, listen, I told you we shouldn't have done this, but now that we have, there's going to be some kind of consequences. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 26, if we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice but a fiery judgment. So what God is saying is, okay, you have the opportunity, you have the prerogative to do these things, but if it's not according to my word, there's going to be some casual, there's going to be some difficulty in your life, but God wants to save each and every one of us. There was a time when we were in Malta, I saw the place where the ship went down, and it's where two seas come together, and I don't know even if today's ships could maintain. How could Paul say in the middle of the storm, be of good cheer? Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand. If you were in my shoes, you wouldn't be able to say, hey, God's going to take care of it for you. But you know what? If an angel comes to you and says, hey, you know, I've got a work for you. I've got something for you, but you've got to go through the storm first. Be of good cheer. Just hold on a little longer. Hallelujah. Verse 23 tells us, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He's not talking about an angel. He's talking about God himself came to him. I belong to Jesus, and I serve Jesus. I have confidence in what Jesus can do, not what the doctors can do, not what the lawyers can do, not what the government can do, not what the employment office can do. You see? Hallelujah. Our God is standing by us in the storm. Paul also had been through his share of storms, and so he could speak out of experience. It's a wonderful thing that there's some mature saints in the church who have gone through a few things, you know. I can share and compare sad stories with each and every one of you. And I can tell you that God can take you through no matter what situation you have. And it's good to have mature Christians who are in the church who can verify, yeah, I went through that, and it'll be all right. God will take you through it. I remember when it happened to me. 2 Corinthians 11:26, Paul said, in peril of water, peril in sea, peril and false brethren, on and on and on. I went through that. Here I am. I survived. Hey, I've been there before, and more importantly, God was there for me. And I wonder how many people over the years I have counseled in the middle of their storm, and although they had always been in agreement with me and God's word, this time, their eyes glazed over, and I could see that they were making plans to abandon ship. I review those things from time to time in the middle of the night. You know, when someone is going through a difficult time, I'm saying, hey, just hold on. God will be, well, no, I think I'll take things into my own hands. Paul said to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. But the Bible says that they acted as if they were casting out anchors, but in reality, they were letting down boats to abandon the ship. And I can give you story after story of those who said they were stable, but they were making their way out. That's a scary thing, folks. Scary thing. I don't know how many of us, including myself, have been at the crossroads where we had to make a decision. Am I going to endure? Am I going to stay? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to trust? I remember many times sitting in a plane next to the wing and reading the words written in red on the wing, "No step, do not step here." And if you're at 35,000 feet, it really doesn't make much difference because you're not about to step out on that wing. But when the flight is delayed and you're sitting on the runway for a long, long time and you're looking at that sign that says, "Don't step here," you're wishing you could step there in order to get out of that plane. Just let me out of here. The soldiers finally came to their senses and cut the rope to their escape and let them fall off. And maybe sometimes we need to just cut some ropes. Cortez, when he came with two ships in order to populate the new world, once they got off the ship and got all of their supplies, the first thing he did was burn the ships. That didn't make much sense. But what it says is, we are so committed, we're not leaving here. There are some things in life that we need to just let go of because they will never save you, they will drag you down. Our ship might be sinking because we're holding on to some things that really don't matter. Maybe cut loose some old friends. Cut loose those past hurts and decisions that weren't right, that hurt you, that you can't get rid of. I don't know what you have aboard, but you might need to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness and forget about the past and those things that have happened to you. Otherwise, they're going to drag you down. Lighten the ship or do whatever you have to do, but we must abide in the church or we can't be saved. I wonder how many people have walked out of the church. I'm not talking just about this church. I'm talking about the church of the living God, walked out and said, "You know what? I can worship God in the woods. I can worship God at home. I can worship God at the office. I can, you know what? I don't need a body of believers. You know, I can just do this thing on my own." And it's a lie from hell, because you can't be saved unless you stay in the boat. It seems like every time I baptize somebody, I give them one illustration. If my little finger is cut off, my whole body will hurt. But the body will go on, but the little finger, because it's not getting the nourishment that the body can provide, the direction that the body can provide, the understanding that the body can provide, it can't survive. And God's saying, you need to be a part of the body of Christ. On the day of Pentecost, it was much like the shipwreck. Fear came over all that heard Peter's message, this first message. And thank God for the preacher who would stand up in the boat and give clear instructions. This is that which was prophesied by Joel. This is that. This is not a new thing. This is just the fulfillment of prophecy. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Peter later said, well, let's in fact turn to it. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3:20 says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Well, why? Because they followed the instructions of God and they stayed in the boat when nobody else wanted to come into the boat, and perhaps there was fear of the storm. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. There had to be tremendous upheaval. There must have been great waves, but they stayed in the boat because it was the only thing that was going to save them. Folks, the church is the only thing that will stabilize us and keep us safe. Once you step out of the boat, once you get to the place where I'm just going to take a little break, maybe I'll come back in summer. Hallelujah. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to walk into the house of God with a good conscience and be able to walk up to the altar and have conversation with God. Amen. I also want to have a good relationship with those that are in the church. And I know a lot of people who were saved by water because of storms that happened in their life. Sometimes we want to bail people out of every situation in their life, when God's saying, no, I've got you in the perfect storm. So now you can get saved because of the storm that is in your life. And perhaps a number of you are in the church today because of a situation. You've tried everything, everything's failed, and now God has taken up your cause. Today was somewhat of a nice day. At least it was sunny. It was cold. But there's another storm coming. There's no question. Every false wind of doctrine will come to pull us out of the ship. There's somebody who's going to say, that's not necessary. You don't have to do this. Maybe, you know, they're just two restrictions. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. Don't let out. Sometimes we're going to suffer persecution and financial problems and health problems. They'll all tempt us to get out of the church, but Jesus is the author, and he is also the finisher of the ship, finisher of our salvation. Hallelujah. If we'll just stay with it, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Sometimes it looks like, well, this thing is going to sink. But as long as the master is aboard, as long as we're feeling the presence of God, as long as we're hearing and seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church, folks, nothing else matters. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 58, we're going to ride on the high places. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Stay in the boat, would you? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? This is your captain speaking. We're going to have some rough waters, but don't worry, the ship has never sunk. In fact, even the ship that Noah built is someplace up on Mount Ararat, and it's still preserved up there. I read about a man who's building a replica of Noah's Ark. I think it's in Tennessee or Kentucky or someplace. Pardon me? Someplace. And, I mean, it's costing millions of dollars, But there are so many people who want to get into the boat. Amen. It's a facsimile of the church. We've spent about $6 million on this building, and you would think they'd be lined up to get into the boat. Amen. If you're here, stay in the boat. Amen. Glory to God. Do you love him tonight? He's a great God. Please pray for these folks, the Tompkins and the Carranzas, who have lost loved ones. If there was ever a time to be a church, it's now, to comfort other people. Brother Portman had an outstanding message on Sunday night of being a servant. There is so much gratification. I was, going for food and cakes and things early this morning, and it wasn't a burden to me. I knew that through it, God would be well pleased with what we could produce here. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to ladies who pitch in and men who pitch in and put up tables and serve and clean and do all of those things. We're the church. We're a living organism. Amen. There is no place you could get more comfort than in the body of believers. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?